100.3 WRNB Media Philadelphia. It's old school 100.3. Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-263-1003. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. 7 to 8 right here on 100.3 Old School. Yes, that's right. I'm fined every time I do that, too. It's Old School 100.3. If you've got legal questions, me and my co-host, the one, the only, he's back again, David M. Rappaport.
Good morning. Good morning. And if you watch...
M stands for Morris.
Michael, thank you.
Ethel,
my mother. Right. You know, my mother was in the office
Ethel was in?
Last Friday, and she was going to come into the office and...
With a sign around her neck saying, I'm Ethel?
No, she was going to ask for
I'm
you.
I'm not Ethel.
She was going to ask for you as Ethel, like, you know, this is Esther or whatever, but you, of course, were not in because it was a Friday. You know,
uh-huh. Summer hours.
Right, so she could not, you know, meet you.
Next time. Well, you should bring her to the station as a special added value guest.
Okay. We'll do that one day. She does listen every morning. Every show.
She's a SAG member, I'm sure.
Yes.
We're going to be videoing shortly. We're going live on radio, TV stations all over the country. And we'll have our guests on satellite view.
Really?
Yeah.
When's that happening?
Soon. Don't worry. I'll tell you what.
All right.
Okay. 215-263-1003 gets you into the studio where you can ask your question and David and I will give it our best shot. One question only, folks. That's the only Court Radio rule we have. Ask that second question. Kyle will slap you and send you off for all eternity to the radio place where people don't get to ask questions anymore.
That's the only written rule we have. Every other rule we make up
as we go along.
Absolutely. when you violate it and we deem it a rule,
then we just shut your mic off and send
exactly.
you away.
Yeah, that's the beauty of radio.
Kick you to the curb. 215-263-1003. If you've been sitting on your legal question this week, waiting for David and I to pop up, here we are. This is the hour of power for legalness in Philly.
Legalness, wow.
Legalness.
New word.
Yeah. Was that a violation, Kyle? The hour of power? Oh, I'm so sorry. Al Sharpton.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Trademark violation. Oh.
He already filed suit, I heard. I just heard he filed suit. And,
here's the paperwork.
You just were served.
Right.
What's the sheriff doing here?
Okay. He wouldn't dare.
He wouldn't?
Never.
I don't know about that.
I would drag his head around Philly for all. He would be in big trouble. Move on. Do something else, he says. 215-263. They're scared here.
They are. Yeah. Very touchy.
215-263-1003. Let's hear. You know, I understand, according to you,
yes.
the longest Phillies game ever.
In Phillies history. If you were watching that game, you're probably not listening to us because it ended at 2:15 a.m., so you're, you know, sleeping still. But, 18 innings. Longest in franchise history. And I think it was... It matched the longest game in the Diamondbacks' history, and we lost.
Yeah, that's the end result. You know, it would have been a great story,
yeah, right.
except we lost.
Well, both teams used like up every player they had. They were exhausted, and finally it took its toll.
Yeah,
for us.
Right. Somebody just said, you know what? We'll flip a coin. Let's just end this yeah. insanity. I was there the night before with the good Judge Rebstock.
Mm.
Yes, I was there on Thursday evening, and it was a good show because they won in the ninth inning. It was a walk-off win.
Okay.
Chooch was involved in that.
Was it the Diamondbacks as well?
Yes, it was. It was their first game in their series.
All right, so win one, lose one.
Yeah, did I say Thursday? Friday night. 215-263-1003. I see the phones are alighting, and your calls will be coming shortly. What else is going on? There was a Some news stories from Tommy Kline.
Our buddy Tom.
Yeah, he was the first,
right?
The first out of the box to settle his client's case with Penn State
for the Sandusky incident.
Yeah, yeah. The Sandusky, well, you called it an incident? I called it a travesty. Sandusky travesty. It was
travesty. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Whatever, they settled and they earmarked a lot of money for all the other victims, and apparently,
and some of those this week have begun to settle. In fact, Sandusky's kid's case settled.
The adopted, yes.
The adopted.
I think Matt is his name, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Matt. Well, guess what though? He's changing his name.
Is he really? Oh, yeah. His last name. Well, I mean,
well, yeah, he's not becoming David now.
He's changing his name to David Sandusky instead of Matt Sandusky. Wouldn't that be that? There's the joke.
You haven't had enough coffee.
Ba-dum-bumps. Yeah.
You have not.
Well, you know, I can't say I blame him. That name is a pretty unique name and only means one thing now, certainly in Pennsylvania.
Child molester.
Well, yeah. I mean, Sandusky. Who else? Do you know any other Sanduskys?
I don't. But you know what? If there are any, they might want to consider changing their names
right.
as well. 215-263-1003. We have a caller, David.
We do.
Let's talk to Skyler from Germantown.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Skyler. Right. Welcome to Court Radio, and welcome to being our first guest for this Sunday morning.
First guest, first time caller.
There you go. This is a first for everything.
All right.
What's your question? What's your question, Skyler?
I went to a technical school called CHI to get my associate's degree around 95.
Okay.
I want to finish up and get my bachelor's, so I called the school to see if I can have my get my transcripts. The school was purchased by another school called Kaplan, and they can't find my transcripts.
Wow.
So I don't know
what to
do. I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, 60 credits.
60.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's you've invested a lot into that. Did you get an associate's degree?
Skyler.
Oh, Skyler.
Skyler.
Oh, of course, Skyler.
Sorry, Skyler.
Well,
I don't know what you have. I don't know if that's more a legal question, more of a just a normal question of trying to obtain information.
Yeah.
Where do they keep? Do they keep transcript information anywhere else other than the school itself? Do you know, Dean?
I don't know.
I would
think that you'd have to go back to the original company or organization who sold it to Kaplan.
Well, how about this? I would think every school has some sort of certification process that they'd go through with the state. They probably have to give the state records on their students, maybe. I'm riffing here. I'm brainstorming.
No, I think you're on the right track.
So maybe the Department of Education of Pennsylvania Department of Education has
some backup.
Information on
it. Well, the other thing is that most people have to take student loans and whatnot,
right.
And or they paid for it. So there's a financial trail that indicates that you were a student there. At least that
start there. Yeah,
as a start.
Student.
That you were a student there, and I wonder how many of those credits, though, are transferable to
right.
a normal or a non-technical school.
Right.
I don't know that's all that big a deal, because I'm not sure that learning to fix the timing belt of a car is going to transfer to Temple for a
full
bachelor's
credit, right.
in an English major or whatnot.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
I don't know.
Make a difference.
Yeah, it may not make a difference, but they might give you some universities give you like life experience credits. When you're old, like Skyler, whose cell phone isn't working. Oh, Skyler, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go. You're back. I guess you heard David and I talking about you.
Well, I went to the school I went to was for the associate's applied science. It was a computer science, like computer engineering degree.
So you weren't learning how to fix it.
Like a mechanical or something.
Gotcha.
It was in line with what I what I'm pursuing for my bachelor, which is computer science.
I see. So, right. Matt, we were talking about the possibility that you had gotten student loans and or paid for this, and that there's a financial trail that you could reinvent, even
right.
though it's you know, almost 20 years later.
Right.
And
well, not to cut you off, I also. When I was working in Johnson, I was working for corporate around 2002 or 2000. I was going back. I was finishing up with my bachelor's, and I transferred. At that particular time, I was able to get him a copy of my transcripts. I also have 20 credits with University of Phoenix. So the school I'm looking to go to is they have that transcript from University of Phoenix, but I'm having a problem getting this transcript from Kaplan now.
Right, because they're out of business, and unfortunately, to some extent, you know, we're all at the mercy of these companies and corporations to maintain records, and when they start transferring companies from one to another, it gets to be a real big mess and a big problem. Good luck with that. I don't know that there's anything. I mean, you know, if Kaplan were still in that business, you might be able to talk to somebody, especially, as I said, if you could reinvent the financial documentation, this is going to be kind of a Quincy. You're going to have to piece this together.
Wow.
That goes back to Bummer.
That shows your age, yeah. Who references Quincy? Good God. Quincy.
All right, Skyler, take care. Thanks for calling Court Radio.
Call in if you know Quincy.
Quincy.
If you ever watch that show, call in. I'll bet you there's one listener who watched. Oh, really? Monica watched Quincy.
215-263-1003. I was just trying to make you feel comfortable with Bummer.
Oh, me. Okay.
Yeah.
Bummer, I watched Quincy.
You know, pulled an 80s reference out for you. 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Wendy from Lansdowne, PA. Hey, Wendy, welcome to Court Radio.
Morning.
Good morning, dear.
Lansdale, way out there in the suburbs.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We like suburban people. us city folks. Come on, tell us what's going on, Wendy.
All right. I hate to call him this, but my husband was one of the big ticket getters, traffic violations, about 10 years ago or something. So, of course, he lost his license, and that's been about 10 years, and he's been paying on it ever since, steady, never missed a payment. And I was wondering, is there any chance for him to get his license back?
Yes, there's always a chance. Where there's hope, there's will. I've helped people get licenses back in my younger days when I would do almost anything to make a living, which is no longer the case. So, you'll have to find somebody else. But you sort of tease it out. You know, you got to go. I literally took my client from courthouse to courthouse, cleaning up the wreckage of his past. But it sounds like you're working on that because you're paying them off. And, you know, I don't know how much longer you have to go, but you have to file with Harrisburg and with the Department of Transportation that these tickets are paid off. And
they're not paid off. Still owes about $10,000.
Ooh.
Wow.
I mean, this might be one of those cases where he does literally, you know, they might give it to him posthumously. Posthumously. So how old is your husband?
63.
Ooh,
wow.
Wow. How long before he pays it off, Wendy? When do you think it's going to, I mean, absent hitting the lottery, when do you think he's going to pay it off?
He's dead?
Oh, jeez. Well, you can put wheels on the casket and have a, you know.
Really?
He can drive that around.
I would say I'd love to see his record.
Yeah, it depends on, I think it depends on what the violations were and that kind of stuff.
Oh, they're all for not having your license and not having your insurance. Traffic violations, moving traffic violations.
How does he get around now? Is he still driving?
Nope.
See, but those are the
10 years.
See, those are the bad ones, though. It's actually the moving violations, which you can work on. When you don't have your license and you drive, and when you don't have insurance and you drive, those penalties are pretty well fixed, so to speak. So I'm not so sure.
Are you the driver now? Are you the designated driver, Wendy?
Yes, I am.
See, that's the
That's why she's calling. Yeah. She doesn't want to drive anymore.
That's the real crime.
You want to be a passenger once in a while. I get it.
Yeah.
It'd
well,
be nice.
And I have no doubt you've never gotten a ticket, right?
Not many.
Yeah. And if you did, you paid them, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Responsible woman. And the husband,
yeah.
Not so. Well, all right. All right, Wendy, thanks for listening to Court Radio all the way up
in
Lansdale.
Okay, thank you.
Take care, dear. 215-263-1003. David, we've had two callers, and really we haven't been able to help either one of them.
What is our purpose in life here?
Yeah.
crickets.
Yeah. Well, I think the two callers have posed, really issues that are not legal in nature.
Correct. The second one wasn't legal. It involved illegal violations, but
yeah.
It wasn't really,
Yeah. All right.
Just how do I get out of having to be responsible, I guess.
These things follow in suit for some reason. I guess somebody hears somebody else talking about something and it dawns on them. Another ticket issue. Let's talk to Lewis from Elkins Park.
Hello?
Hi, Lewis.
Yes.
How are you?
How you doing? I'm all right, yourself?
Good, thanks. What's your question?
Yeah, I had a question about a couple of years ago. My younger brother was using my name, and he received a couple of tickets for driving without a license. The cops never took his car. They always cut him a break and gave him the ticket. So when I got the information from Harrisburg saying that they were going to suspend my license for driving with not a license, no insurance, I contacted them and told them it wasn't me. They told me to schedule a court date, which I did. The judge threw all the tickets out. 12 days later, a cop pulls me over and tells me my license was suspended and live stopped me and took my car.
Aha.
Okay.
All right.
I had to pay ridiculous amounts of money for it. Actually, it was a car I only bought from the auction. I got the car for $325. When I went to see the judge at Eastern Spring Guard, he made me pay $375 just to get my car back. And I'm wondering, was it anything I could do to prevent that? Because I had proof that it wasn't me driving the car. So how could my license get suspended? And then Harrisburg told me that I had to pay the reason the cop said my license was suspended because I never paid the restitution fee.
Restoration. There's a $25 restoration fee when your license is suspended. Your license was suspended because of things he never did. It was your brother's crime.
Right. And actually, that day when I went to court and came home, I called Harrisburg and asked them what was the status of my license. They said it was not suspended. They told me that the cops and them have two different records. Something that showed up on the cop system was different than Harrisburg's system. But when I went to PennDOT, then in effect, the lady told me in office, well, if you have the $25 fee, I'll restore your license for you. I'm trying to figure out. Why would I have to restore a privilege that should have never been taken from me?
There you go. Well, and you could fight that. I mean, you could have said, no, I'm not going to pay it. I'm going to fight it. And but at some point it becomes of diminishing value because for 25 you get it restored. But for, a day of your life, you could probably win that argument, demonstrate to them that it wasn't you, demonstrate the court threw the tickets out in the first place. Get all your documentation together. Here's the issue. Don't count on any in life. You sound like you're a young guy, Lewis, and so you're going to be faced with these problems in the future. And I tell all of my clients, don't depend on verbal conversations. The woman in Harrisburg, she might have been wrong when she told you over the phone that your license wasn't suspended and the police have it. People make things up. You want to see it in writing. So you can go to any DMV and get an abstract of your license. Just go on in, give them your driver's license, and they'll pull up the entire official Harrisburg record. And you can get that so that you can see if there's any issues. We all can do that because if there's issues going on, when you find out, you find out when you get pulled over by the police. And
I go, can I say one more thing? But you know what my breaking point was? After I dealt with Eastern Spring Garden, I had to deal with knife and filth. And they actually had me sit down and talk to a guy and explain everything. He recorded it. And he said, okay, I'll help you. Just go to Eastern Spring Garden and get the letter. I came back with a letter. He told me there was nothing he can do for me. So that, at that point, I was almost at my breaking point. Like, oh, I don't know what to do now.
Yeah,
like,
don't go postal over it. It's not. It's.
I felt like I wanted to go postal.
Yeah, that. I hear you. That's now you're going from bad. You're going from the what is it? Something into the frying pan. From the fire into the frying pan. I don't want. I don't want you calling me about getting locked up now over some license issue.
It wasn't worth me jeopardizing my future and my well-being.
No.
It was to the point where the stress levels. Can you imagine when you have over $400 of tickets and you're driving back from Knife and Filmer to Avon Spring Garden in the course of the day?
Yeah, and it's not even you; it's your brother. I want to know what you did.
That's
with
who
the
you go
yeah.
postal on your yeah. brother. That's who I would go postal on your
what'd
brother.
You, what'd you do with your brother? Nothing.
I just never let him use my vehicle. And the thing about it, he had his own car, and I don't know why he didn't have his license or what.
Is he your twin brother?
No, he's not even my twin brother. No, it was nothing. No, I didn't. He's taller than me. He's just slim and light skinned like me. That's the only similarities.
I know why he did it. I know why he did it. He's smart. He didn't have a license, so he said, "I'm going to drive my brother's car and say I'm him."
It was his car, but he did.
Well,
say,
whatever he said, I'm just going to say I'm my brother. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, that was he. Tell him next time tell him that he's Dean Weitzman or something. You know, don't be dragging your. Don't be dragging your good name down.
Right.
There you go. All right. Thanks for calling us, Lewis. Take care, sir.
No problem.
All right. 215-263-1003. David, let's move on to our hot button topic, please.
All right.
If you're holding on the line, hold tight. We'll get to you shortly. You know, we have to transition, though. Car scams, David.
Car scams.
Yeah, and we have a guest on for car scams.
Meaning.
Well, he's going to tell us, but John Bruno's on the line from Wildwood, New Jersey. Hey, John, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
We're doing fine here. It's good to have you, John. I'm going to sort of set the table here for your scam. John, you traded a vehicle into a car lot, and it was supposed to be a happy time, right? I mean, you trade your vehicle in, you get a new car. You're walking, you're driving around, you're feeling good, you're thinking good, you're looking good, and something goes wrong about 3 months after you bought the car. You get a call from the company that previously provided you with a loan for your old car that you traded in and said, yo, you're late on your payment. What's going on? And or I think in your case, you actually went for a loan, and they said, sorry, you don't qualify because you got bad credit. You didn't pay this car loan. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhere in the middle of the two stories you just told, actually. I applied for a mortgage for a rental property.
Uh-huh.
And the loan officer came back and told me that the mortgage would be a point higher on an interest rate because there were several lates from Ford Motor Company.
And that's who you had your loan with the car for?
That was the vehicle I traded in. I traded in a Ford. I bought a Volkswagen. When I traded the Ford in, obviously traded it in under the auspice that it would be being paid off, the balance of the vehicle.
Sure.
I traded it in July. I applied for a mortgage loan for another rental property sometime in November.
How come? Let me ask you this, John. How come? Why do you suppose you never heard from? I'm assuming you never heard from Ford that the payment had been late. You know, I mean, when I pay something late, I get 30 seconds after it's late. They're calling and emailing and. What happened with Ford that they didn't get in touch with you?
After the fact, I thought about that. And after reading his indictment, what I can surmise is that he notified Ford Motor Company in some way, shape, or form that he'd be paying my loan off. And subsequently just never did it.
Yeah, so, let me lay the table.
Obviously, as a lawyer, the paperwork trail in these large companies can be backlogged 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, let me lay the groundwork here for our listeners who are kind of out in the dark here. So we got John Bruno on the line from Wildwood who traded his car in to Harry Klaus Car Dealership. the Klaus dealership in New Jersey. You know, it's always Jersey that this stuff happens. And the Klaus,
here he goes again, bashing Jersey.
The Klaus dealership takes his car with a promise that they're going to pay it off, and they sell him another car. They don't. They were flipping cars. They were leaving it on the lot and hoping to sell it, and weren't able to pay it off, didn't have the cash to pay it off until they sold it to somebody else. And in poor John's case, they had the car for over 90 days, didn't pay it, and John's credit was affected. This is what happens, I guess, John, when you're dealing with, I know that you're one of the questions you had for me was, what can I do now? And you know, I think prospectively, I would tell listeners, you know, I would be very hesitant to deal with small car lots.
Well, let me go a little further, because I have a little bit of an issue. I'm going to take a little umbrage with this whole thing. I mean, while I recognize, it's John, right? Mr. Bruno.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I recognize you're clearly a victim, and this guy was taking advantage of people. However, let me ask you this question. When you left this dealership, you traded in your car, you got the new one, what kind of assurance did you get from Mr. Klaus's people that they were paying off your car loan? What did they just tell you that? Did they give you something in writing? What did they tell you? Or what did they do?
Have you ever purchased a vehicle before?
I have. Many times.
Well, many times it's pretty standard procedure to have some sort of notice of payoff.
Right.
In your file when you leave.
That's correct.
It's contained within the paperwork that they provide you.
So did you have that?
I certainly did.
Okay.
I certainly did. I'm not a wealthy person. However, at that point in my life, you know, I maybe had purchased 10, 15 cars by that point. You know, that I wasn't a novice, and Harry certainly wasn't a new car dealership that all his signs were blow up and he had just set up yesterday, and then I stumbled across his lot between two tumbleweeds and a stale cup of coffee.
I think that's the key issue here, because I think a lot of people, there's a difference between going in there and not knowing what you need and getting quote unquote scammed. But in your case, you knew what to look for. He actually gave you documents.
Yeah,
and you still, I think you can rely on them in some respect. And
you can, but I don't know the Klaus dealership that well to know its size. I don't know it well enough to know its size. But I would say this: if I get anything from John's story, it's you got to be careful about who you're dealing with. You have to be really, like, for instance, if I was going to buy a used car, I mean, there are used car companies that are huge. I mean, those places like that have 3,000 used cars.
Right. Or a dealership, like a major dealership that sells used certified cars.
Right. Now, Klaus may have been, I mean, I never heard of it, but it may have been something along those lines. Something's a little smaller, but somebody who engenders some sort of feeling like they're a stable company. But that's the first thing, because we have a lot of, not that saying that John fell for this, but we have a lot of listeners who deal with mom and pop used car lots where there's six cars, eight cars on a corner lot. I'm sure some of them, most of them are legit, but you're always going to have to rely upon the financial security of the organization you're dealing with.
Right.
So if something goes wrong, if you're dealing with somebody who has six or eight used cars and you get a judgment, you still have to collect the judgment.
Right.
Good luck. Right. You know? So I guess the question is, are you comfortable dealing with the organization in a way that, you know, if things go wrong and you sue them, that there's something going to be there for you to get? And that's always the question, you know, because you never can tell what's going to go wrong. That's
But absent that, I think in John's case, he gets the slip. If it's a fairly legitimate looking place and they have a lot of cars and whatever, it's almost like a Bernie Madoff type situation. Like, you know, he it, you have no, you can't do anything. You don't know that they're going to do this. You have no idea they're going to do it.
And John, let me ask you this, John. What would you do going forward differently than you did in the past? Anything?
Well, I think Harry is a very unique case. One thing, funny enough, that I've seen after the fact is he does have a large group who support him still. You know, he is an alt in southern New Jersey, and he had been pretty well respected, and I think still is. I was not mistake-free. Unfortunately, as you guys know, ignorance is no circumvention of the law. I mean, you know, what I should have had was a credit monitoring system. What would have happened was if I had had a basic credit monitoring system, it would have alerted me within 30 days that some sort of negative accounting had been placed on my credit, which most likely would have sped the paper trail up.
Right. That's a great point.
That is a good point.
But that's also retrospective. What could you do going forward not to be the subject of a scam? How is it that, is there a way for you to now buy and sell cars that you know with almost certainty that this won't happen again?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a pretty common practice in the car business. I do think it is. I don't think Harry stands alone and he was one guy who dreamed this up.
No, I'm not suggesting he was one guy who dreamed this up. I think it's pervasive, unfortunately.
His place is still
not
open.
But it's not legit because old Harry pled guilty.
Yeah, but they didn't even shut down his place. He's still in business.
Okay, but he's facing 20 years in prison.
Oh, I gotcha.
He's a scam artist. He's a convicted scam artist who, you know, was taking advantage of poor people like John.
But again, I'm gonna liken it. Let's just say Bernie Madoff and I know it's a totally different situation.
Come on.
No, but still. People, what could they have done? Well, you could easily look at them and say, you shouldn't have given money to this investor. But here's a guy who holds himself out as a reputable investor. He's got the past history to back it up.
Right.
So people, of course, look, stars, all these important people were giving him millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Why? Because they trusted him.
Right.
Here you go to this place, you trust him.
I don't trust anybody.
Well, he's still, here's the question. Let's pose the question to you then.
Yeah.
What would you do, Dean, differently than—
I wouldn't be buying cars from Harry Klaus, anybody like that. I'm buying cars from places that I know are not going anywhere tomorrow. Like, you know, that have huge turnover. I'm not saying buying.
But you don't know about Klaus. John, how big was Klaus's place?
He probably had 60 cars. I think the better point would be the Rudy Shirazzo situation in Cape May County, where that was a Ford dealership that probably had 2,000 cars on it. And, you know, here's a guy that gets nailed for title switching, loan floating, and odometer changing. I think it is a very unregulated business. But I do agree with Dean. Hey, listen, I think it's going to be 9/10 of the law with whatever you do in life.
Right.
That if you go with the people who have the established reputations, they have the larger product, then the service longevity and risk reward regarding getting screwed in the way I did minimalizes to a point where you hedge your exposure. And I do agree with Dean that I think...
You know what, John? John, you could have stopped with "I do agree with Dean," because as far as I'm concerned,
everything stops there.
That's the best part of what John had to say. I do agree with Dean. Stop. Pause. We're on Harry Klaus's website.
Yeah.
There, it looks like it's a tumbleweed joint. You know?
It looks like he dropped some cars from an airplane and they landed there, and that's it.
They're out in Ocean City,
Ocean
New Jersey. Ocean City, New Jersey. I don't understand why the storm didn't. What was that storm? A hurricane?
Sandy.
Sandy,
but the lot looks...
They should have just taking him out to the ocean.
The lot looks smaller than the studio.
Try not to buy a car at a used car lot that has a...
a little sign that the letters are missing on the sign.
What is that thing called? A trailer. Their office is in a trailer, okay? If they don't have a real building with bricks...
and
then,
mortar, yeah.
Bricks and mortar, don't deal with them. You cannot buy cars from a place that you have to walk into a trailer, okay? Stop it. All right, John Bruno, the victim of a scam. We really thank you for you were a good sport, John. Thanks for calling Court Radio and sharing your
bad story, and I'm sure it's happened to many others, and hopefully people will be a little more
careful. Don't buy cars from a trailer. John Bruno, thanks for calling Court Radio, sir.
Thank you, man. You guys, hopefully I was able to stroke your egos this morning. You guys have a great morning.
All right, okay. Sir. Take care, buddy. We have
Dean's ego.
Yeah, well.
You agreed with him.
Well, that's why he was a guest. In order to be a guest, he had to
agree with you.
Had to agree
that
with
was
me.
The stipulation.
Yeah. That was my payment. We had to buy him a new car. Just kidding, John. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
If your child was injured at birth, if you were the victim of a medical mistake, or if you were hurt in a workplace or automobile accident, choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. We've collected over $100 million for our clients, and we won't stop until your future is secure. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman, on Old School 100.3.
That's me, Dean Weitzman, joined in the studio by David Rappaport, my co-host.
Yo, hello.
And we were talking about car scams, but we've got callers backed up the wazoo. So let's talk to Louise from Ambler, PA. Good morning, Louise, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well, thanks. You have a husband question.
Well, it's a personal injury question. I don't know. We don't know where to go with this. I'm angry with my lawyer right now.
And your lawyer's not Dean White. Let's make it very clear, Louise. Your lawyer's not Dean Weitzman. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. All right. I don't want my listeners to think.
All right.
All right. All right, Louise, okay. Go ahead. What's your question?
Here's the scenario. 3 winters ago, we had that heavy snow, and our landlord didn't salt the driveway. My husband slipped and fell, broke his shin in 3 places. Subsequently, he had to go out of work on take early retirement and disability. So our problem is we've been waiting and waiting for our lawyers. 2 years. We didn't hear from them. We called them 3 times. They said, we'll get back to you. on the day that the statute of limitation for filing was getting ready to run out, they call us, rushing us to hurry up and look over the case so they can file it. And we didn't hear anything from them again for like 6 months. And now they're telling us that the owners of the building, the husband, has several bypass surgeries. He's not doing good. The wife has Alzheimer's. She can't remember anything. So they can't go against, you know, file the case against them. So they're going to try to go to the daughter and file the case against the daughter who was managing the property. And so the daughter's saying that it's not their fault. They did what they were supposed to do, but my husband was disabled because he had, the year prior, he broke his ankle and had surgery, and they removed a bone, an inch of bone from his leg. So he walks with a little limp. And they're saying that's what caused him to fall. So the lawyer's saying we're going to have to go to court. So all along, we have no communication from my lawyer. We're tired of waiting. We don't know what's going on. And we can't pull out because they say if we pull out, we got to pay them. I'm ready to get a different lawyer.
Okay, so I'm not happy with my lawyer. What do I do, Dean, right, is essentially what you're asking.
Right.
But let me ask you a couple questions. Is this matter filed in Philadelphia County or Montgomery County?
Montgomery County, because we were in Elkins Park at the time.
Okay, so the landlord and the property are in Elkins Park. You filed this in Montgomery County. And let me say that, you know, my experience is that Montgomery County and most of the counties are not as prompt as Philadelphia County in resolving civil disputes. And in Philadelphia, you know, your case would come up for either arbitration within 8 months or 9 months of filing it, or at worst within a year to 2 years if it were a major court matter. And so I could tell you that, you know, one way or another, this case is going to resolve fairly quickly in Philadelphia. Unfortunately, Montgomery County, you know, between lawyers, sometimes that we say that's where cases go to die because it takes them, and it shame on them, shame on the judges. They should all paddle each other right now, you know, right this second. Go find a ruler and paddle each other because you're despicable the way you handle cases in Montgomery County. They're just slow, slow, slow. And people want their disputes heard, like you say, you know, I mean, it's enough. It's 3 years. But really, the case didn't begin, in all fairness to Montgomery County, though they don't deserve much fairness. Your lawyers waited 2 years to file the lawsuit. So even though it's 3 years since the date of the accident, it's really only 1 year since the courthouse had the case. And that's not a long time in Montgomery County, unfortunately. The case could go on for another 2 or 3 or 4 years.
It David? Could, yeah, absolutely. We both have personal experience with that. Philadelphia is the only county in this immediate area that has case management, which, you know, the court pushes you through and gives you deadlines. Montgomery County doesn't do it. You can ask them to.
Now, the fact that your landlord is disabled and his wife is senile,
yeah,
and
that's
I don't see the point of that.
Me neither.
It actually helps you. I mean, you
right.
know, you get to say that they were supposed to do X, Y, and Z, and they go, "Hey, I don't remember my name." You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
so, you right. know, I mean, that's that means all the evidence is on your side and very little on their side. And
but,
you know,
the lawyer's telling us because they're in that situation, she's not even going to approach them. She's going to more so say that it was the daughter who was managing the property.
Well, you know,
do they have insurance? The key because
I'm assuming they have insurance, and I'm assuming since the statute of limitations has now run, that your lawyer sued all the necessary parties. He sued the husband, the wife, the daughter, and everybody's in the case, and they're all, you know, susceptible to having a judgment entered against them. And, you know, as a trial tactic, well, you know, your lawyer may. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do, because here's the bottom line. You're calling. We got to get on to other callers. But you're calling because you're not happy. You need to have a sit down with your lawyers. You need to call them and have a sit down and go in and have them explain and show you everything and take their time. And as a client of theirs, you're entitled to that. Absolutely. And yes, when you sue somebody and you point the finger at them and say, "You're wrong, you hurt me," they're sometimes going to point the finger back and say, "No, I didn't. It's your fault." That's just the way litigation goes. Don't feel bad about that. I would be surprised if they just said, yeah, we did, we're sorry, how much do you want? I mean, that doesn't happen. If it did, you wouldn't have had to file suit in the first place. So the fact that they're pointing the finger back at your husband and saying he was disabled and that's what led to his fall, that's just what, you know, litigation engenders. So don't worry about that. Your lawyers will handle it and show that he was, you know, as stable needed to be, and that his fall was caused by the slippery condition and not by his disability. And this is going to take some time, but if you don't have the answers you want, you're entitled to sit down, and I would demand it. And lastly, you can always change lawyers. All you got to do is find another lawyer who's willing to take over the case, and then the two lawyers would share the fee. It shouldn't cost you any more. The question is, can you find a lawyer who is willing to take over the case now? And that's a possibility, though the longer it goes along, the more unlikely that possibility is. But you know, where lawyers and their contracts are only as good as the relationship between the parties. And when a client is no longer happy with the services of a lawyer, that client can go to another lawyer. And then the two lawyers agree to split the fee up between them. And that happens all the time. So don't feel like you're stuck with a lawyer if you don't want to be there. You can get a second opinion. But I'd start with your own lawyer and have a meeting. If that doesn't go well, go see another lawyer and see if you can find somebody who's willing to undertake the case.
Okay.
All right, thanks, dear. Thanks so for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday.
You too.
All right, let's talk to Rob from Winfield. He's got a question about wills. Hey, Rob, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. Yes, how are you doing this morning?
Good, thanks. What's your question?
A question I have is on a power of attorney and also will. I want to know how strong are they when if you ever have to go to court on them.
Okay, well.
Well, that's an impossible question to answer, but okay. Here's my best shot. They're given a lot of deference by the courts. And so unless you're able to show by clear and convincing evidence that they are not to be trusted, they work. I had a will contest in, actually, of all places, David, Montgomery County.
Ooh, okay.
A very, very, and one of the best.
Took a long time.
One of the best jurists there, Judge Ott, a smart guy. And we spent a week on trial, and I had to bring experts in, expert psychiatrists, to prove that the decedent, because she had already died, had been under duress when she wrote her will, and that the will was not to be trusted. And it took a week, and it took many thousands of dollars and many hours, hundreds and hundreds of hours. But at the end of that process, I proved that that will was not to be trusted, and the court threw it out. And then the woman's property passed as if she didn't have a will. It passed by intestacy.
Right.
And so it went not to the person on the will, which was her brother. It went to her children, who were her real next of kin, and who didn't believe that their mom wanted them to be cut out of her will.
I think the key, though, is the first question is that both of those documents need to be what we call self-proving. So the document itself has to be solid, meaning you need witnesses and notarization. Then the question becomes, in Dean's case, was there duress or something like that? And that was a week long trial because it's not easy to show, and you need to go through.
They're competent.
To go through that, and that's not an easy process.
The people who sign off on that need to have competence. They need to know what they're signing. They might think they're signing the lottery slip for Cracker Jack box or Kyle's homework. You know, they could think that they were signing off on why Kyle missed school yesterday.
Yeah,
and
and
so you want to make sure that there's competence, but generally speaking, they're given a lot of deference.
Yes.
It's not easy to overturn it, but it's not impossible.
Okay. Does the next thing, I feel though if I need to make this right, I need to see an attorney, a lawyer?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't do this on your own.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And you can always reach us during the week at 215-227 2727. That's right. That's the number for all of Philadelphia's legal problems. No matter what they are, if we don't handle them, we'll get you somewhere that does. 215-227-2727, the one-stop shop for legal issues in Philadelphia.
Okay. And when I'm there, I shouldn't have to worry about, you know.
Paying? That's where you're going, right?
I mean, that goes with that. You know?
Yeah, that's a little bit of a problem. That's a little bit of a problem. No, typically, the only cases that are undertaken that are on a contingent fee basis, that's the kind of contract one signs and then they don't pay a lawyer up front, but the lawyer takes a percentage of the recovery. The only contracts that we undertake in that regard are personal injury lawsuits. Lawsuits where one sustains an injury, and then we wait to be paid once there's a settlement or a recovery or a verdict. Okay. Every other legal problem somebody has, nearly every other legal problem somebody has, you're paying the lawyer by the hour. Okay. And so if you don't have the funds to retain an attorney to make that fight, that becomes a very, very difficult fight to undertake for both the lawyer and the client. So, yeah, what you describe sounds to me like it's by the hour as opposed to a contingent fee. But listen, a telephone call won't cost you anything. And so you give us a call, we'll at least assess the situation from that perspective and let you know whether it's something that would be a contingent fee or an hourly matter. And we'll do that over the phone before you ever get in. 215-227-2727.
One more question.
No.
We gave you four, I think. And that was we were only two we said in the beginning.
There's absolutely no more questions for you, sir. Now you're going to be charged by the hour. That's it. I had enough of you. Let's talk to Ms. Bennett from Germantown. Speaking of lawyers taking your money, what happened, Ms. Bennett? Ms. Bennett?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
We're here.
We're here. We're ready for you.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Ms. Bennett, calling from Philadelphia.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It's my legal problem. I was in a car accident way back in April of 1st, 2010, and a lawyer sent a rec chaser to my house and took my case. I went to therapy for 4 months, and he took $500. He gave me a $500 loan, then he told me to get another lawyer and then finish the case. I don't know if he got the money or not. Him and his assistant promised me $30,000. I didn't get the $30,000.
Wow,
so
you do.
By then. This happened back in April 1st, 2010.
Wow.
Dear, you're a speed reader or speed talker.
Speed talker, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. That's actually a good thing for radio, but
I guess.
I think I got some of that. $30,000. Okay, we've been through this a million times.
You might not want to deal with people who come knocking on your door, you know. When you got a legal problem, an important legal problem, Harry the Wreck Chaser, who knocks on your door, is probably not your friend, okay? It's probably Harry Klaus.
You know? Right, there you go. Anyone named Harry is probably someone suspect. Sorry, Harry's out there, but that's today's theme.
Right. Well, that's Kyle's middle name. It's
Is it?
Kyle Harry. Yeah.
Kyle Harry.
Harry. Yeah. Don't lie.
No, anyway, the bottom line is this. As Dean has said throughout the millennium, okay, you have a problem with your lawyer, you don't understand something, first thing you do, call the lawyer's office, demand an explanation. They were your lawyer. You don't get any response? Well, there is a disciplinary board where you can file, Pennsylvania Disciplinary Board.
Right.
You can make a complaint to them, then they will investigate for you what happened. They'll contact the lawyer, and if the lawyer doesn't respond to them, the lawyer's going to have a big problem. So you have the ability to find out what happened. You just need to, do a little legwork, and you can, and well, probably won't cost you anything up front to start to find that out.
Right, but when you do it, talk a little slower.
Yeah, right. Explain it fully.
Take a breath. All right, thanks for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday. Let's talk to Demond.
How you doing?
All right.
Pronounce your name.
Demond.
Okay. There, you were right.
There you go.
Yeah, how you guys doing this morning?
All right. We're doing well, thanks.
I'll start off saying, I agree with Dean.
Cut him off, Kyle. Cut him off immediately. Hang up on him.
All right, Dimon. Well, now we're gonna give you three questions today. We're gonna break the rule. Now, come on, Dimon. Tell me what's your question?
I'm in the process of paying off my traffic tickets with Philadelphia, and then I received a letter saying I had a case against me from 92, like a car accident. And I remember going through the whole situation and everything like that, but never, you know, I think I had a situation with the last caller. Like, I went to therapy, all this other stuff, and nothing ever came up with the case. But anyway, this particular case, they, you know, at that time, I thought I was winning, but obviously I wasn't. They filed against me for $8,500, saying that's what the law firm wanted. So in order for me to, you know, get my license, I had to clear something up with them. So I tried to contact the law firm. I wasn't able to talk to the lawyer or anything. They just kept pushing me to a secretary, and then they said, "We'll send you a letter." They want $1,500 up front and $100 a month. And I'm like, you know, this case is so long. I wanted to know, is it negotiable? And she was like, you know, this is it. We'll send you a letter. You got 90 days to concur or something. Or whatever. So
okay, well, here let me. I'm going to cut you off a little bit, Dimon, because we're running out of time, and I want to give you an answer. First of all, folks, if you don't have insurance at the time of an accident and you get in an accident and the person you got in an accident with gets a judgment against you, you'll lose your license. That's the way the law is. And so it sounds to me like Dimon didn't have insurance at the time of the accident. A judgment for $8,500 was entered, and he didn't have insurance to pay it, so he lost his license. That license loss is forever until you pay that judgment or negotiate a deal with the attorney, and then the attorney can send a letter to PennDOT and reinstate your license while you're paying it off. Is it negotiable? Of course. Everything in life is negotiable. Question is whether the attorney renewed the judgment every 5 years, because if it doesn't renew every 5 years, it gets washed away. Actually sounds to me like you should stop into the office, maybe pay a small fee to us and allow us, you know, I have some attorneys, younger attorneys and older attorneys who like to do these kinds of things. And maybe that somebody can make a phone call for you. Some negotiations can go on. Maybe they didn't renew the license. Give us a call during the week, Dimon, 215-227-2727. We'll see what we can do for you. I like to try to help the court radio crowd out whenever I can, and we'll help you if we can. 215-227-2727. And in the meantime, Dimon, have a great Sunday, and thanks for calling Court Radio.
Thank you very much, guys. I'll give you a call.
All right. Well, folks, we're running out of time here. The hour, as it usually does, just gets by us, and our wonderful callers. David, thanks for another great show.
Yes. We'll be doing it again, I'm sure.
Yes, we will.
In a week.
In a week, as we're wont to do every Sunday morning. Folks, thanks for listening.
You know, everyone who's on the line, you could, if you wanted to, go online, post your question there that you have that you're waiting for, and we can address them.
We never get to everybody, but if you have questions during the week you want to post to Court Radio, go to courtradio.com, where you'll find us on the web, courtradio.com, and you can post your questions, and we'll get to them very first question out of the box next Sunday morning. Okay, have a great Sunday. Have a great rest of the week. If you need us during the week, 215-227-2727. And now, a short interlude before my friend E. Stephen Collins and Philly Speaks coming up after these announcements.
I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been the victim of a medical mistake, getting proper care matters. Understanding your rights matters. And getting just compensation that provides for your future matters. That's why your attorney matters. If you're suffering because of a serious medical mistake, call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.